The Mike Missinelli Show. Yeah.
Hey, y'all. Mike Missinelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station. We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli Show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly, where Hades the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. Our competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kind of hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock ya.
Wow. Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Mike Missinelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. And, boy, we got a lot to talk about today as the Eagles just overwhelmed the nation with a 32-6 victory over the Atlanta Falcons. Now, there were a lot of people that said they were going to win this game. Early on, I didn't think so. I kind of, like, shifted last week and thought that they would their defensive line would be the difference and their offensive line would be the difference, and it was. So, listen, I know what's going to happen today. There are people that are going to take this to the Super Bowl, and I get it because we're prepared for that kind of reaction, and that's all well and good. I'm not going to step on your toes at all today about what this victory means, but I just have some thoughts that popped into my head as I'm watching that game. And the first thought I had was that Nick Sirianni was in total control and may not be a doofus after all, right? Totally in control, seemed to have no problem thinking on his feet, made all the proper adjustment, had a solid game plan because the offense actually played to the quarterback's strengths and they did stuff that really would accentuate the talents of Jalen Hurts, who, by the way, had a Buffalo first game. 18-24, 169, two TDs in the first half with a 121.7 rating, keeping the offense controlled. RPO type of situations, getting the tight end involved, getting Devontae Smith involved. And let me talk about Devontae Smith for a second. Player. All right, going to get open consistently. They found him yesterday. Didn't seem to have any nerves at all. Went out there, played football. And then the game plan in the third quarter readjusted to amplify the run, which was smart at that point. They had the running game going. So Atlanta didn't know whether to scratch their watch or they're behind at that point. And so this is all a matter of having a game plan. Now, we talked about last year so many times where they looked like they had no idea what they were doing game plan wise. They looked like the head coach couldn't adjust on his feet at all. Man, that was a competent effort by a football team and a coaching staff last night that made everybody, you know, go, whoa, hold on a second. The defense, I thought the key early was they made major stops on third down and limited to a field goal. They limited to two field goals. It looked like Atlanta had something cooking. And then they took advantage of Atlanta's stupidity where they stopped going up-tempo. You know, Austin Smith comes out with up-tempo, boom, boom, boom. They're going down the field. Now, there was kind of a bend but don't break situation. But then they stopped going tempo, and the Eagles just took advantage of it. The defensive line dominated with only four guys rushing the quarterback. Didn't get overwhelming pressure on Matt Ryan early until they broke down that offensive line, and then they got pressure on him late. But they stopped everything. You know, the run early they couldn't stop, but then they really buckled down and they took control. And then the offensive line, I mean, the offensive line did a fantastic job. Jonathan Gannon, by the way, his defensive structure, taking Kyle Pitts out of the game, kind of taking Ridley out of the game. I'm not sure how he did it, but he did it. And it was a great job. Now, again, the caveat is that this was a horrible team they beat. And I don't want to focus too much on that, but you can tell the Atlanta Falcons are going to really struggle. So keeping that in perspective, I'm not going to try to dilute what the Eagles did at all. The only complaint I read on social media about this game from Eagle fans was that they didn't agree with his decision to go for it on fourth down in a couple situations. Now, the one situation, I actually thought they had the wrong running back in. They ran the ball to Gainwell there on a they ran a power run with Gainwell, which I thought was the problem to me. At the time they went for it, the score was one of those scores where it was 18-6. All right, that would have made it 18-6 if they had gotten a field goal, which still makes it a 2-touchdown score game. If they continue to drive there and they score a touchdown, it makes it a 3-score game. So I didn't have any problem with his decision to go for it there. I just had a problem with the decision to use Kenneth Gainwell in that situation. But they use Gainwell beautifully. All of a sudden, Jalen Reagor pops out of the woodwork and makes a play at the end of the game. Just when people on social media go, where's this Reagor? He's like invisible. And boom, he pops out. And everything about this was it was fun to watch, as opposed to the torture of watching them play last year, where they were just befuddled as a coaching staff and personnel wise. They had everything going in this game, and I hope it continues. But that was a pretty good effort for out of the chute on the road, and they dominated a bad football team. How good are they? I don't know. We will see how good they are, but this was a damn good start. Tyrone?
I feel great today. Going into the season, I've been saying, been trying to be consistent, saying that I had hope. Hope to Sirianni, hope about Jalen Hurts, hope about the young guys stepping in and the new coaches. And after the first game, that it was the first step to have something that's beyond hope. Because going in, we had no idea what to actually expect. We saw the offense for like 7 plays all of the preseason. And we heard about the practices, but the fans don't get to see all the open practices. Mm-hmm. And practice is still practice. It was very refreshing to see a buttoned-up team come out and dominate. Because on the offensive side first, because even though they moved the ball Atlanta some early on the defense on their side, that offensive line was clearly very good right from the gate. And that's a big thing we were hanging our hats on. If this team's going to do something this year, the offensive line has to look good. Lo and behold, the offensive line looked excellent deep into the fourth quarter. You mentioned the Reagor touchdown. Mailata had he destroyed a guy on that particular play on a kickout to mm-hmm. open up the lane. Kelsey still looks good. Brooks made it through the game. Samalu had some penalties, but nothing.
And so did Lane Johnson had a couple had penalties. Yeah.
But I think that also is related to only playing 7 mm-hmm. snaps the whole preseason. I think some of that was natural rust. I really am encouraged by that part because I can't hang my hat necessarily on Hurts yet for a whole season after
all. Well,
one
here's
game.
The thing about Hurts, and I started thinking about McNabb yesterday because they just couldn't get close to sacking him. And, mm-hmm. and they did that because he's so nimble. He skirted out of a couple sack situations that Wentz would have got buried by last year. And then, like, he made 2 great throws. I mean, the throw to Devontae Smith is a nice touch throw. And the throw where he skips out of the pocket to avoid a rush and gets Goddard. Now, Goddard made a great catch on that, but that's a great throw to get them a touchdown right there. So, and he looks unflustered.
He does. Well, you can tell he's played a lot of football because that's one thing you can't deny. He started a bunch of games with Alabama, transfers, starts a bunch of games with Oklahoma. This is a guy who's played a lot of football, period. So he's under control. But I do think that other pass rushes will do a better job maybe creating mm-hmm. some pressure. But I don't think he's going to be overwhelmed because I think this offensive line, as this, is good enough to keep him for the most part clean. And they did for the most part all game. And the defensive line also looked mm-hmm. good. So I'm coming away feeling great. This is the step one for me, not just having hope, and I can now say something's real. I'm also, Smith can play. I don't need to see a lick more. Yeah. Smith can play.
Yep.
Kelsey can still play. He's not done. Mm-hmm. I feel very
amazing
comfortable
game
saying
by
that.
Kelsey yesterday. Amazing.
How does he still have that downfield?
That was a great effort by him.
Yeah, so, and Sirianni, I can already say he's better than last year's Doug. Now, if you want to talk about Super Bowl, whatever, one game, I'm telling you right now, he's better than last year's Doug. Now, that's not a necessary high praise.
Yeah.
Because Doug was terrible last year. Mm-hmm. But at least for a game, they were coached in the right kind of way. And now we'll see if they can build on it.
We'll see if they can build on it. And they get a test right away in their home opener. The 49ers with a big victory. Even though they kind of let that fritter away a little bit. But they were dominant. And so we'll see a lot more how the Eagles are next week. But as long as you have those lines cooking, they're going to be in a lot of games.
Yeah, 3-point underdogs, which is not not insurmountable, not insane. An opening line, we'll see where it goes as it goes on. But Vegas, I think, has changed their mind a little bit. They had no business being underdogs to that team, by the way, in hindsight.
Falcons are terrible.
Falcons are terrible.
They're an awful
squad. No disrespect to what the Eagles did. The Falcons are terrible.
They just are bad.
They play Tampa this week. The line opened at 10.5. It jumped to 13.5 in a minute.
Yeah, they're
not good.
They're one of the worst teams in the league. Jen?
Yes.
You were delighted.
I was delighted, yeah. I loved how it just seemed like the team together was concise. They were prepared. They were focused. It was fun watching football yesterday.
It really was a lot of fun, and that's the word that's going to come up a lot. You sat there and went, man, this is entertaining the way they're playing. All right, we'll take a break. We're going to talk about this whole thing. Nick Sirianni, presser at 2:30. We'll have it live right here. We'll see what the head coach has to say. He's walking off the field a little humble. After the game, you know, a little humble, you know, doesn't want to take anything for granted. I like it. And had some good things to say after the game as well. Didn't get all carried away with it. All right, 610-632-0975. The Mike Mussinelli Show. A day after an Eagles victory. Should be great radio. We're back after this.
The Mike Mussinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
He is the great Brian Westbrook, brought to us by DraftKings Sportsbook. Hello, B. West.
Good afternoon, Mikey. Miss, it's Victory Monday, my friend. Victory Monday.
Yeah, and we were texting back and forth during the game, and they had a togetherness to them. I thought the game plan was really well executed. They did exactly what they needed to do to take advantage of their talent with the RPOs, and I know you saw kind of the same thing.
Yeah, great game plan, but to me, it wasn't just the game plan. To me, this game was all about fundamentals. Obviously, starts with the head coach and his ability to play within a scheme, saying, okay, this is what my players are good at. Let's make sure that we play within that scheme. And obviously, the score of the game allowed him to do that, but he was prepared. The offense was balanced. There was some good play selection. And I just think they looked like a very well coach team. That starts on the practice field. That's fundamentals from the coaching side. Then we look at the quarterback. We all know, and you guys have been talking about it all day long, how well Jalen Hurts played. But again, he played within himself. He was accurate. He played composed. He felt the pressure in the pocket and moved out of the way and created time for his throws with the receivers because he moved out of the way and away from the pressure. So again, that's practice. Those are fundamentals. Those are small things that have big gains as far as throughout the season and for an offense. And of course, the offensive line played great. And Miles Sanders and Kenny Gainwell did their jobs. They did exactly what they were asked to do. Catch the ball well out of the backfield. They were asked also to follow the blocks to find the holes. They did a good job of that. And I think they, as a group, both of those guys were explosive and very good at behind the line of scrimmage. And then look at the wide receivers. Here's a big thing for the wide receivers, Mike. And we talked about it. I talked about it a couple of weeks ago. They look like they're getting open more. They're getting more separation from the defenders. That's fundamentals. That's them working on the footwork, knowing where they need to be, knowing how to get those routes. This game was all about fundamentals, especially from the offensive side. I was very impressed.
All right, talk to me about Devontae and his ability to get open. And then talk to me about Miles Sanders and Gainwell running the football and the way they used them.
Well, Devontae Smith, he just continued where he left off in college. His ability to break someone down at the line of scrimmage. And it's, you know, there's not a lot of guys in the NFL that can break you down at the line of scrimmage and then just run past you. He has that ability to make you, you know, use your weak shoulder, make you take a wrong step at the line of scrimmage, create that separation. Then he has the speed to run away from you to keep that separation. And Jalen Hurts, as a quarterback, just did a great job of finding him and saying, okay, this pass, because it's man-to-man, this is going to Devontae Smith. We understand that he's going to create that separation. He's going to get open, and he found him every single time throughout the pass game.
Two questions. I know early on we were both commenting on how Atlanta was running the ball, using tempo and grinding it down, and the Eagles weren't able to stop them. What did they do to close down that that little loophole? And what did they do defensively to take Kyle Pitts out of the game? Because he wasn't a factor, and I would have thought that Atlanta really would have zeroed on making him a factor.
Well, when you talk about Kyle Pitts and when the game, you know, the game was close there for a while, and you know, Matt Ryan was having his way, but that's because the run game was going. At some point when that run game slowed down because the defense tightened up, your linebackers stopped over-pursuing and stayed in their holes and stayed home, that's when the run game, those cutbacks kind of stopped. There was another point where, you know, Avery, you know, he kept, for some reason, every time they had a run play, he would go after the quarterback as if Matt Ryan was a real boot threat. Instead of going after the quarterback, once the offensive lineman collapsed down, you have to slide down the line of scrimmage, and the ball carrier comes right to you. And once they start doing that, now the Falcons weren't able to run the ball as effectively, and you had to throw the ball. And I have to be honest with you, I didn't know how well this defense was going to play. I didn't know what type of scheme Jonathan Gannon was going to have. But I can tell you, that zone defense that he employed, especially, you know, second, third quarter, I mean, it looked really good. That's how you slow down Kyle Pitts. You say, okay, Matt Ryan, you have to be accurate. You have to have time in the pocket, and you have to find holes in this defense. And he wasn't able to get as much time in the pocket because our defensive line did a great job of getting pressure on him. And he wasn't as accurate because they were getting pressure as well. And so, you know, teams were not able to – yesterday, Falcons were not able to find holes in that defense, in that zone defense in the secondary. And then they just played well together. And, again, the pressure that the offense, because they were scoring the football, put on the Falcons offense, they weren't able to keep up, and things changed for them.
Yeah, clearly the defensive line wore down that Atlanta offensive line, and by the end they were paced. But I know you did some breakdowns online of some plays where you highlighted some offensive line blocking schemes. Yeah. What did they do to make the execute? Their execution, I thought, was flawless.
Execution was great. Now, again, Atlanta doesn't have a great defensive line, but, you know, working together, working as five guys together, and you got to be honest with me here. You know, Brandon Brooks was out last year, but you bring a Pro Bowler back, he can fit in at any time. But this team, this offensive line, looked like they had been playing together for a very long time. And we all understand they didn't get much time together in the preseason as far as the games. But, I mean, they were passing off stunts. They were double-teaming. And you look at the game wheel draw that ran for a touchdown. We saw our center, Jason Kelce, and our left guard, Isaac Seumalo. They just demolished. I mean, they double-teamed the nose tackle. They push him back 5 yards. Then Seumalo veers off to the left and goes off to the linebacker. And then Kenny Gainwell, he had his choice of picking any hole that he wanted in there. That's how it was drawn up. That's the scheme. Again, we talk about fundamentals. Don't allow someone to split the double team. And then when you get off the double team, the center, who was Kelce, he takes over that one guy, and then Seumalo bounces off. I mean, that's coaching tape. That's exactly how you draw it up. And so when I saw that yesterday, and we saw other plays too, we saw Kelce snapping the ball and leading, you know, basically being the lead blocker on sweeps, Lane Johnson kicking out, Jason Kelce turning up the field, getting a block on two different guys. That's coaching tape. That's how you draw things up. And yesterday was a great example of our offense, especially our offensive line dominating up front, which made it easy for Miles Sanders, made it easy for Gainwell, as well as Hurts in the backfield there.
All right, so I have to ask you now, what does it all mean? Because we have a tendency to overreact and say, you know what, maybe they're better than we thought. What does this game mean?
Well, I think it's a good start. I mean, that's what this is. It's 1 of 17. The same way, if you would have lost this game, I still would have been saying the same thing. It's 1 of 17. Things can always change around. And so, for me, this is a great start for a young, inexperienced, specialist type of team, receivers and running back, quarterback as well. This is a good start for them. Now you have to find a way to play the same way, or even better, against a better defense. And Mike, you watched the game yesterday. We saw that there wasn't a lot of longer throws. There wasn't a bunch of 10 to 20-yard throws. There were more checkdowns and things like that, which allowed us to take advantage of some of the things that Jalen Hurts does very well. But at some point, the other team is going to score. At some point, you're going to be trailing. You're going to have to take some shots down the field. We still have to find out if this football team with Jalen Hurts as a quarterback, if they can actually do that down the field. We didn't need that yesterday, so we didn't have to take advantage of it. But there are some things that they still have to prove. And I think this season, we'll see a team get better in every category in each game. You know, there may be some games where they falter, they don't play as well as we think that they should, but I think that the next game they'll come back and play much better because of those fundamentals and the coaching staff and the environment that Nick Sirianni certainly has fostered over there at the NovaCare Center.
Next game, home opener, San Fran, which rung up a few points yesterday.
Yeah.
And the line has gotten down to 3.5, San Francisco. I thought it was going to be higher than that.
Yeah, coming across the country, playing a football team that plays very well at home, a defense that I think, you know, they gave us some yards early on in the ground. They tightened up just a bit. I'm excited to see what this team does. Again, this Atlanta team was not very good yesterday, but now we have a chance to play a much better football team in San Fran. And this season, we can't forget this, Mike, and I know we're excited about the win. This season is about growth. This season is about using those fundamentals to get better and better and better every single week. And I'm not going to say that this was a gauge for our football team for the entire season, because it wasn't. The same way that this San Francisco game won't be a gauge for the entire season. I just hope to watch our football team get better next week than they were this week.
Gotcha. Good stuff, Ryan. We appreciate it, man. Thank you.
All right, man. Take care.
Brian Westbrook, he joins us every Monday with a quick hit analysis brought to us by DraftKings Sportsbook.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Oh, yeah, that's the music. It's football music, and that means on Monday at 3:30, it is time for World Famous Around the NFL, where I go around the NFL and pick out five thoughts that occurred to me as I watched all the action. And we start this, by the way, it's brought to us by Farron Electric from Recessed Lighting and Chandelier or Fixture Installations to Home Automation and Landscape Lighting. Farron Electric can give your home an upgrade inside and out. Schedule a consultation at farronelectric.com. We'll start the five with a prelude. The prelude is the new Zen Master / Namaste look for Aaron Rodgers. Didn't work yesterday. And my thought was, could he just be putting in the motions this year until he gets out of Dodge? We'll see, but let's start with number five. Now, everybody watched the Browns and Chiefs game, right? I just did Nick Sirianni and Greg Olsen. Well, that was the rematch of last year's AFC title game. Didn't disappoint. Pat Mahomes, Baker Mayfield threw it all over the joint, and Kansas City had to rally past Cleveland, 33-29. Mahomes, just ridiculous again. 27 for 36, three touchdowns, including this unbelievable touchdown completion to Tyreek Hill.
Mahomes will step up against it, moving laterally now, throws it, looking for Tyreek Hill, makes the catch, burning the defender, peeling back left, 20, 15, 10, 5, and into the end zone, touchdown, Kansas City, 75-yard touchdown. And the Cleveland DB, playing as deep as he could, it still didn't help him.
I love that announcer. Touchdown, Kansas City.
He's good.
Yeah, it's really good. Nick Chubb had a big day on the ground for the Browns with two scores, and even Kareem Hunt got back in his old squad with a rushing TD. But the Chiefs and Andy Reid, man, they're tough. Number four. So three Alabama quarterbacks were on the same college squad at one time, all started in the NFL yesterday. Two of them faced each other with Tua and the Dolphins against Mac Jones and the Patriots in Foxborough. Now, Jones was okay. He was 29 for 39 with a touchdown. Tua had his usual pedestrian numbers, but he did rush for a score late and delivered a TD pass to Jaylen Waddle. Roll Tide.
Fake handoff. Rolls to his left. Throws to Waddle. Makes the catch. Dives for the pylon. He's into the end zone for a touchdown. Tagovailoa on a 3-yard pass to Jaylen Waddle, and the Miami Dolphins have taken the lead.
All right, now listen, the Pats should have won this game, but Damian Harris, who had a hundo rushing yesterday, fumbled as New England was driving for a potential winning score, and Miami holds on to win 17-16. All right, number three. In my demented world, revenge is king. And so it was with Sam Darnold yesterday as the Carolina Panthers beat Darnold's old team and the quarterback that supplanted him for the future, Zach Wilson. Now, is it me? Or does Wilson look like a 16-year-old boy who just wandered into a big boy sandlot game?
Correct.
But the kid can fire. Darnold threw, however, for 275, had a QBR of more than 100, and he delivered this beauty to former Jet and former Temple U star Robbie Anderson for a 57-yard TD.
Under center, Sam Darnold. Play action, drops the throw, looks downfield, floats to his left, fires one up the right seam. He's got Robbie Anderson behind the defense at the 10-5 touchdown. Sam Darnold to his old favorite Jets target. Downtown to Robbie Anderson. And Carolina has a two-score lead.
Yeah, a lot of nostalgia in that game. Panthers win it 19-14. Number two, Bengals-Vikings was a hoot. The Vikes were down 21-7 in the second half, but rallied to get this game into overtime. Now, first things first, Ja'Marr Chase, who sat out his last college season, wound up getting picked fifth in the draft anyway by the Bengals, struggled to catch a beanbag in preseason. So then there was this.
Mixon to the quarterback's left. Burrow drops straight back to throw again. He's going to fire it long for Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah.
Over the shoulder catch at the 15. Woo. He runs it into the end zone. Touchdown, Bengals. Ja'Marr Chase doing the gritty in the end zone as Cincinnati gets a 50-yard touchdown.
Yeah, they did. But the Vikings come back. They get a 53-yard field goal by Greg Joseph to send the game into overtime. And we're driving to win the game in overtime when Dalvin Cook. Oh, no.
Dalvin Cook carries. Looks like the ball may have come out on the end of the play. There's a scramble for it, waiting for a ruling. And the Bengals have it. How do they have it? The officials say it's Cincinnati football.
Oh, my. And Evan McPherson winds up winning with a 33-yarder for the Bengals. Bengals, tough loss for Minnesota there. All right, number one, Carson Wentz. Hit 8 times, vaxxed 3 times. Oh, wait, that's sacked 3 times. Lost a fumble on a snap. Philly rejoices. Colts loses to Seahawks, and Russell Wilson was ridiculous. Russ threw for 3 TDs in the first half and 152.3 passer rating. Okay, then. Now, here's the bomb to Tyler Lockett.
Second down and 20, final minute of this second quarter. As Wilson fires downfield, Lockett, he's got it! Touchdown! His second of this first half,
wow.
69 yards!
The good part, Wentz didn't get hurt. So we're rooting for you, Carson, to stay upright. And no, he did not get vaxxed 3 times. That was sacked 3 times. And that's around the NFL for today. Brought to us by Farron Electric from Recess Lighting and Chandelier or Fixture Installation to Home Automation and Landscape Lighting. Farron Electric can give your home an upgrade inside and out. Schedule a consultation at FarronElectric.com. All right, let's get back to the phones. 610-632-0975.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.